You're listening to Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello and welcome to Truth Without Radio. Today's date is Friday, the 24th of August, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, and we're not actually broadcasting live. We were broadcasting live about an hour ago, only the software wasn't hooked up correctly and it didn't record, which I really do apologise to listeners for that. But Dennis has been kind enough to say that we should record it again because we really don't want to let listeners down. Live listeners have already heard this show and we're now going to attempt to repeat it because we do think it was a particularly good show. And you really have to thank Dennis for this, for agreeing to come on and record it again. That's Mr. Dennis Wise, the producer of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told, Communism by the Back Door, and the Freemasonic Victors of World War II. Dennis, how are you doing today for the second time?
We're going to have to stop meeting like this, then.
Well, I just...
People start talking.
I can't believe it. You know, I don't think that's ever happened before. I've recorded something once, and again, it was an update that messed all the settings up, and it just recorded one of us. But this time, it didn't record any of us. We were linked up to the server. Listeners heard it, but it just didn't record. So they do these updates and it says we are going to improve your computer and they mess up every single one of your audio settings and you have to be really careful, really careful.
In the small print it says we're going to mess up Sven and Dennis.
Yeah. Well, you know, I checked everything else. I checked the mixing desk. I checked the Windows sound settings. But the only thing I hadn't actually checked was the live link. And when we're recording live, I record from that live link. So we were linked up. But yeah. God, it's so annoying. So annoying. Yeah. Well, let's try and get back into what we had. Luckily, we do think out these programs beforehand and we do have a list of subjects we're going to discuss and we do have some notes. And the first part of the discussion today was sent in by Anglo Falcon in the chat room. And he sent us some rather disconcerting news, actually, about something that's happening in Spain. Spain's government has approved legal amendments ensuring that the remains of former leader General Francisco Franco will be dug up and removed from a controversial national mausoleum honouring its civil war dead. The minority socialist government is certain that Parliament will endorse the amendments, probably in a debate next month, Deputy Prime Minister Carmen Calvo told a news conference. The amendments to Spain's historical memory law of 2007 grant the government power to exhume Franco's body. The vast Valley of the Fallen complex, which contains his body, is the most conspicuous public legacy of Franco's rule and is a popular pilgrimage site for people who are nostalgic for the better times under his rule. It has a 150-metre, that's 500-foot-tall cross that can be seen from many miles away. And Franco, who died in 1975, is in a tomb in the Basilica's central nave beneath a 1.5-metric-ton tombstone. So Franco is right at the heart of this huge, great monument. It was built by Franco as a tribute to those killed in the 1936 to 1939 Civil War, when he deposed Spain's democratic, it says here, government, but really it was a communist government, in what was called the Glorious Crusade. Some 34,000 people from both sides of the fighting are buried at the site, most of them never identified. So this wasn't just to honour Franco's fascists, this was also to honour the communists that were killed as well. This was for everyone this was supposed to honour. Having Franco's tomb at the complex shows a lack of respect for the victims buried there, the traitor Calvo said. She noted that a visiting United Nations delegation said 4 years ago that democracy is incompatible with a tomb which honours the memory of Franco. Well, what do the United Nations have to do with a sovereign nation such as Spain? It's up to them who they want to honour. The memory law, which outlawed public events supporting Franco's government, fell short of addressing the broad demands of civil war survivors and victims' relatives for exhumations and reparations. That sounds very Jewish to me, asking for reparations after a war. Franco's descendants will be consulted and will have 15 days to say where they would like the remains to be placed after exhumation. If they do not reply, the government will choose a quote-unquote dignified place, Calvo said after the government's weekly cabinet meeting. Francisco Martinez Bordio, a grandson of Franco, described the exhumation plans as barbaric, telling Antenna 3 in an interview Friday that descendants would assess their legal options for halting it. An exhumation of Franco's embalmed body, possibly as early as October, would cement the government's reformist and liberal credentials after taking power last June. So they are really looking to make their mark here to show how communist they are by desecrating the memory of the previous leader that led the country for over 30 years. And they just want to destroy that memory of him. I mean, it's just a symptom of our times, isn't it? Like what they're doing in America, destroying the monuments, ISIS destroying the monuments out there in the Middle East, and now destroying monuments and pulling out, exhuming dead bodies here in Spain. I mean, what a way to treat the guy's memory. What do you think of this, Dennis?
Well, that's exactly what communists do. Like you said, they've done it in the south of southern states of America. They've done it with Adolf Hitler's parents, removed the headstones, and no doubt the Antifa will be celebrating that one of the fascist, main fascist leaders of Europe is now going to face being moved as well. So it's just another step. I mean, if people have been following my work for the past few years and the documentary, certainly the Masonic Victory, then they'll understand that, you know, fascism, the closer we get to this New World Order, fascism has no place, just like Christianity has no place, and a couple of other organizations will have no place as well.
It's so disrespectful, though. I mean, to think the guy made this monument to respect all the war dead of Spain, not just the people that fought on his side. And now that he's no longer here, they want to get rid of it, even though it was supporting both people. You know, it reminds me of how in the 60s, the communists were all shouting for free speech. And then once they have free speech, they silence everybody else. And it's like here, they'd be clamoring for, well, we have to honour the communist war dead as well as the nationalist war dead. And as soon as he's gone, they want to rip him out from the heart of it. I mean, what are they going to put there to replace him? A note, Franco was here. Or what?
Well, yeah, probably. Because what you've got to understand that the two ideologies, fascism, National Socialism, and communism, three ideologies, if you like, were ideologies that fought to the death. So not only did they get rid of the remains of the living, they'll get rid of the remains of the dead as well, because it is what it is. It's an ideology that they detest, and it goes hand in hand with Christianity, which is another thing that they detest. So that's on the way out as well, as everybody can see, unless they're blind. So, you know, it doesn't really surprise me, shouldn't really surprise any of the people who've been following work, that the closer we get to this New World Order, the more communism is now coming part of our lives. It's been like undercover for a while, you know, since World War II, things, you know, they haven't been rushed to do anything. But now, you know, with especially like the immigration, there was a big rush on that. There's certain things. They're putting the foot on the pedal. And obviously, something like this is a major thorn to them, you know, a mausoleum to a great fascist. Doesn't fit in their world.
You know, it reminds me a bit of that propaganda poster where you have that Asian member of the Red Army, and he's trying to kick down this huge cross. And then you've got all the, you know, do you know the one I mean? And you've got all the Waffen SS there, and you're kicking down this huge cross. And instead of kicking down the huge cross, they're ripping the heart out from inside of it, ripping out Franco. And, you know, by doing that, it's very much like George Orwell's novel 1984, where they were trying to rewrite history. and he would get newspaper articles and he'd rewrite them as if somebody hadn't been there. And again, it's similar to what happened in the Soviet Union when they would kill people and then they'd rub them out from the photographs as if they hadn't even existed.
Yeah,
that's what they're going to do here. They want to pretend that Franco didn't exist. I mean, why would they want to do that? Obviously, because he was very good. And they don't want people to remember that he was very good. They don't want people to remember the good way of living that they had in Spain. They would rather just forget it.
They want to remember an alternative way of living even. You know, like they don't want an alternative financial system. There is the victories in World War II, and that's, you know, and to be honest, if Hitler had won, he'd probably said the same. There'd have been nothing to do with communism around. So it's only to be expected. And when does a communist ever show respect?
Well, we also don't really hear very much about Franco and about Spain. I mean, I really don't know very much about him at all. You know,
that's why I did an episode on him.
Yeah, I was going to say about my limit is the chapter that you did on what happened there.
Well, one can imagine after World War II, he had a tightrope to walk. Obviously, he's surrounded by a world now which is going to be communist driven. So he probably did as well as he could to kind of keep things afloat. But eventually when he went, I believe anyway, that it was passed over to the king. The power was passed over to the king and it was the queen, apparently. Maybe the king was involved as well, but who kind of went all left-wingish and went with the New World Order.
And obviously now they've got a communist government there. I mean, they've got really serious things that they need to be dealing with. I did a podcast earlier today, and the Daily Nationalist, and it was looking at seven police had been sprayed in the face by acid by so-called refugees. 300 of them invaded Spain from the Moroccan side, from the African side. They invaded Spain, they sprayed the police officers in the face with acid and then danced off up the road to a refugee welcoming centre, which is right there by the border. Some of them were waving EU flags, the Starry Sphincter, and also waving Spanish flags. Well, the police were in agony on the ground with acid in their faces. And there was no reports of any shots fired. The police couldn't defend themselves against this invading army. And the fact that they were waving the flags of the country they were invading, it's saying, we've already taken over this country and you can't even fight back. And instead of doing something about that, the government is worrying. The government thinks it's more important to start digging up a dead body and removing it to somewhere else instead of actually protecting the Spanish people.
Well, I think you're right. I think they do think that's more important because all these immigrants, it's been planned anyway. They want all Europe mixed. And obviously, you know, I don't think they wouldn't have even been bothered if the police were killed. Because they haven't quite come out yet and said, we are communists. But in every, I suppose, action that you can see, you can see what they are. And so, you know, they'll look at Franco to get rid of him first because of what he represented. And it's an ideology they don't want anyone to actually remember. They'll get rid of it altogether. The cross will come down as well, I've no doubt.
Well, I say he was obviously Christian, obviously thought a lot of Catholic. Christianity, Catholic. Mm-hmm. I mean, a 500-foot cross, that's huge, massive. Well, you'll see that from miles away.
In that series, you've got Mussolini, who was Catholic, Hitler, who was Catholic, Franco, who was Catholic, Pavlovich down in Croatia, who was Catholic. All the leaders on the Axis side were Christian or Catholic, or, you know, people, I call them Christian anyway, but some don't. But the leaders, them four leaders, were Roman Catholic. You look at the leaders of the Allies, and you Churchill, a Freemason, Roosevelt, a Freemason, Truman, a Freemason, and Stalin's a Freemason. So it's obvious it's a Freemason versus Christianity war, and they won.
Well, the Antichrist side, I mean, they don't produce anything that even compares to the beauty of what the church has built over the years. the cathedrals, the statues, the paintings. I mean, you look at architecture today and you look at what wins awards and it's horrible.
Terrible.
And it's probably not likely to be here in a few years.
In the Spanish Civil War, Hitler actually said that he was protecting the culture because they think nothing of destroying these cathedrals because these cathedrals mean nothing to them. They look at these cathedrals and it's to them, it's the enemy. And, you know, they'll build these oblong square bloody buildings and these flats like in East Germany, which when you look back now at the 60s in Britain were no different. All these estates and what have you. It's communist.
Beautiful architecture like those cathedrals. That's the oppressive male patriarchy. What we want is women architects designing upside down buildings. Like there's a horrific building somewhere in the north just is, that won an award just purely because it was a woman architect. Hideous thing. It looks like it shouldn't even be standing. It's all top heavy and it's won an award just because it was a woman architect.
So, the statues as well. They're just sparkly steel. Prickly, it might as well be a bush, you know what I mean? Like some of the statues are just terrible.
Well, that heap of old rust that was put up for the Olympics, do you remember? A sort of helter-skelter pile of old metal. And that was...
their idea of beauty is totally different than mine and yours, I'm sure.
It's warped, isn't it? I mean, these are warped people that want to dig up bodies and desecrate them. And that's more important to them than anything else. And they've only got a minority. They're only holding on to power by an absolute tiny little minority that they've got. They haven't got a mandate to be doing anything like this. And yet, you know, they're going ahead with it. And who's going to stop them? And the reason why, you know, they've got the UN behind them. That's the thing.
Well, the UN is built on the Communist Manifesto and it's also a Luciferian outfit as well. So, that doesn't surprise me. They're involved because they will be the ruling organization of the world if this new world order has its way.
Yeah, everything's all to do with United Nations human rights now, whereas it used to be God's law, and you didn't need the state to be enforcing it. You didn't need to be given your rights by the state. It was God's law that. You didn't kill, you didn't sodomize.
No go to the United Nations or the EU.
Yeah. No adultery. None of that. Well, let's move on to the next subject because we've also got some comments here that we want to address. So these are the comments for episode 16, the last chapter in the series. And the first two comments are all pretty much on the same subject. The first one's from New World Order. And he says, in my opinion, Luther was a saint and absolutely not a Jewish puppet. Elite Jews tend to take credit for everything and everyone they can to fool non-elite Jews and goys and to invert the truth as much as possible. For example, claiming the religion of the prophet Moses was Judaism, when even in their adulterated Torah, even in the entirety of the Old Testament as well, nowhere does Moses claim to have any specific religion or say he is a Jew, and nor does Jesus for that matter. As we know, Jews say Jesus was a Jew. And obviously, that's a subject we've covered many times, is that Jesus wasn't actually a Jew and that the religion of the Old Testament wasn't Judaism. So what his real point here is about Luther, because in chapter 16, you were saying that, the Jews are claiming they are responsible for Martin Luther. And we've also got a comment here from Mr. T. Schnitzel. He says, I thought Martin Luther spoke out against the Jews and was labeled anti-Semitic. I don't think he helped them. Well, this is just it, isn't it? If you look at what Martin Luther did, he helped the Reformation. He started the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation, which split the church and which did away with the church's power and was really the start of the emancipation of the Jews. So,
which was a Jewish goal.
Yeah, which was the Jewish goal. That's what they wanted. But then if you look later on in his life, Luther worked out what the Jews were doing, and he wrote an amazing book called On the Jews and Their Lies, and he had completely changed his opinion. I mean, he said that, you know, the best way to baptize a Jew is to tie a millstone around his neck and throw him in the river. That was Luther's views on the Jews.
Well, in the verse 16, it actually says, I know the same quasi wasn't wasn't brilliant, but it's awfully good. They're going to be improved, thanks to yourself. It actually says that he began by taking influence from his Jewish friends and Jewish finance. It actually says that, which leads to the point where you're looking now at an object of the Jews is to destroy the Catholic Church, which he certainly helped. And then you see the viciousness of him turning, which indicates that he was there at the beginning and then realized what they were and then turned on them, which obviously these people leaving these comments I don't think are aware of. And yeah, you know, he's a saint to a lot of people, but he did do what the Jews wanted and succeeded rather what the Jews wanted to do.
Well, they were funding him because they knew that this was going to tear apart the church, and they weren't just funding him, they were also funding the printing of Bibles. They were getting involved in the translating of Bibles. I mean, there was Jewish advisors that were telling Luther how he was supposed to translate, you know, the Bible. This is why there were, you know, a lot of translation mistakes in there. This is why he had things put in there to make it seem as if the Jews were the Israelites, as if they were the people of the Old Testament. This was all of great benefit to these Jews and the Protestants.
Yeah.
The Protestants were really very supportive of the Jews, especially if you look in England. I mean, they wanted the Jews to come back from Holland. You know, it was the Catholics that kicked the Jews out from England, yeah. And it was the Protestants that wanted to bring them back. And this was, you know, this was happening quite a lot all around Europe. But Luther woke up to it at the end and wrote this book. And because of that, even the Catholics in the National Socialists were supportive of Martin Luther. He was a hero to both Protestant and Catholic alike because he rejected the Jews and because he stood up for Germany and said, well, no, you know, Germany wants to be independent. We don't want to be under the Pope. We want to be independent. And they saw that as a nationalist spirit. So you've got two things there, really. You know, Luther was used by the Jews. That's why they say he was our puppet. And at the same time, he exposed them.
Yeah, correct.
I just wish more people knew about his book on the Jews and their lies, really.
Yeah. That's probably been suppressed.
I think it's got some amazing stuff in there. Really, really hardcore, like destroying the synagogues and, you know, the Jews haven't got a hope in hell. Don't bother trying to convert them. It's, you know, he really did wake up. I think he accuses them of causing the Black Death by poisoning wells, all sorts.
Well, I think when you find out that the Talmud means all Gentiles must be killed, which includes Luther, you know, if he thinks that at one point they were okay and now he's found out that really he's going to be just like everybody else, he's going to turn and turn viciously, isn't he?
Well, that was it, actually. I mean, he started out and he thought they were the people of the Old Testament and then he discovered what was in the Talmud. But yes. Not until, you know, the end of his life. Earlier in his life, he thought they were absolutely wonderful. They were giving him this money. They were helping him out, you know, to separate from the Catholic Church.
He's fooled by them as well, because they do come with good stories, you know what I mean? And people of good intentions back them up. And even today, somebody will say to me on YouTube, what have the Jews ever done to you? You know what I mean? They've got this story well laid out. It's a different game, but people don't bother going into it.
Well, I mean, you can understand why he is, you know, well, not really hated, but disliked so much by the Catholic Church for what he did. I mean, he did split the church. That's the problem. Okay, he wrote a great book. He did expose the Jews, but how many people know?
To let the Catholic Church,
Just because he exposed the Jews to a few people, right the way across Europe, the church was split, thanks to him, really. I mean, you can say, well, the Catholic Church, you know, was doing a lot of bad things. They were selling indulgences and all sorts. It had become corrupted. But really, what
power
he should power corrupt. But what he really should have done is tried to put the church right rather than splitting from them.
Well, that causes any split then causes weakness, doesn't it? Which is exactly what the Jews want, because they never split, do they?
Before I was even a nationalist, I used to wonder this. I think, well, what have we got here? Well, we've got the Church of England. We had the Reformation, and then we had the Church of England, and I was always taught that the Catholic Church had sort of grown apart from its original roots. So we had the Reformation, and then we went back to our original roots. So I was thinking, what? Well, so we went back right back to the beginning again, then and took on all the old traditions. Oh no, we just started something completely new, which defeats the object. Yeah,
that's a different Protestant institute to the European one. I mean, I was like E. Michael Jones said, it was just a plunder job, really.
Yeah, oh yeah, there was that different side to it as well. It was just that Henry VIII wanted the money. He wanted to divorce his wife. There was no actual genuine reason for it in Britain. There wasn't.
I think it had something to do with the Jews as well. You know, the Tudors. I think I read somewhere that they had some kind of leaning towards them.
Well, there wasn't the problems in Britain that there were on the continent. You know, we hadn't really had we had no sort of Inquisition here. There was none of that. We didn't have the problems with the indulgences or the usury, and you know, all of that was going on the continent, but it wasn't really happening here. We just had a problem with the king.
We just chased a few witches, I think, didn't we?
Yeah, well, we might. I don't think we even had any witch trials. But even then, that was just Jews, really. I mean, it was Jews that were doing all of that. Well, let's move on to the next one, and this one comes from Freedom Fighter. And he says, first of all, the Catholic Church changed the seventh day to Sunday and admitted decades ago, and if you study the Church, it's been in scandal for centuries. Yahweh God never gave them the authority to do so. Well, I looked this up, and they didn't actually change the seventh day to Sunday. What the Sabbath was a Saturday. That was when the Jews worshipped. And the Christians and the early church, their day of worship was the first day of the week. That was the day when the Lord was resurrected. That was the day of the Lord. And that was on the Sunday. And that's in the New Testament. It tells us that that's the day that the church, that's when they actually worshipped on. So they weren't actually changing the day. And part of this was because there was no more circumcision. There was no more, the priests and the sacrifices. And it was seen that this was a clean break from it. And rather than having to obey the law, we were obeying the law with our hearts. And obeying the law with our hearts was to have this day of worship on the day of the Lord. And also wanting to separate, you know, what Christians do from what Jews do. We want nothing to do with what Jews do. Jews are the Antichrist. Let them do their thing on a Saturday. So, you know, this is the reasons for this changing it here. Dennis, you've got some views on this as well, haven't you?
Well, to be honest, you know, they could have the Sabbath on Friday for all I care, or even on a Tuesday. I mean, the Catholic Church bent over backwards, went beyond call of duty when they got the National Socialists out of Europe and saved thousands of lives, thousands of soldiers. So to me, you know, actions have always spotlighted in the words. And for this person to say that it's been corrupt for centuries is bullshit. During that time under Hitler, they weren't the church what they are today, which is obviously satanic. They were the proper Catholic Church. And I know a lot of Catholics refuse to believe it. Even, you know, Vatican.com have called me the devil at times. But you know that what I've written has been proven, that the fact that they had this concordat with Germany, they had this a thing across Europe to protect against the Bolsheviks. And everything what I've said has come to pass. The Catholics were even armed. The monks were armed in the Balkans, were fighting against this communism. So this is the Catholic Church at this time was the upright and truthful one. And the one today, which obviously people, even myself, accuse, is the satanic version.
Well, I think there's also been a big drive to undermine Sundays, hasn't there? I mean, this idea, oh, the church changed Sunday, you know?
I used to put seats up and just hear the birds whistle.
Well, that was it. You know, you might hear a lawnmower but I on the Sunday afternoon. But what I'm thinking is, you know, this accusation that, you know, the church changed the day to Sunday, that's obviously come from somebody trying to undermine the church. It does. Yeah. Probably got a Jewish origin. And, you know, they did all they could to stop us having our Sundays off. You know, they wanted to work. They wanted to sell goods on the Sunday. And then they brought over the Indians and the Pakis and
you know, obviously, yeah.
And they were like, oh, look at these silly English. They don't work on a Sunday. We're quite happy to work on a Sunday.
Loads of money on a Sunday.
Yeah. Exactly. And that forced us to work on a Sunday. And then we were told, oh, well, it'll be so much better for you if you do have Sunday opening hours because, you know, you if you want something, you'll be able to go out and get it. But we used to just buy what we needed on the Saturday. You know, it wasn't the end of the world that there was a day of the week when everything was closed. You knew that everybody you knew was going to have a day off on Sunday. So you could arrange to meet anybody you liked on a Sunday and they'd all be having a day off. And all that changed. Instead of, oh, well, now you can go out and buy things on a Sunday. It was now you have to work on a Sunday. And it was expected that you would do work on a Sunday. And
if you squeeze the wages, that's going to force people to work who really can't afford not to work on a Sunday. So that's another angle they used.
Well, it was important to have a day of rest, and everybody had the day of rest on the same day, which brought a sense of unity to the community, I think, as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, you'd all meet up in the pub on a Sunday lunchtime, because everybody would be off work, and originally everybody would go to church on the Sunday morning. But again, all of this has been undermined. So I don't really know what his point here is about that. But his next one, I think, you know, and this next point he makes is quite a common one, really. He says, promoting Mary to a goddess who is Nimrod's wife in disguise. Jesus is Tammuz. Lol. William Cooper taught me that, and all you have to do is read Alexander Hislop's book. Well, Alexander Hislop's book has been discredited. And this Mary is a goddess who is Nimrod's wife in disguise. You know, just because somebody is honored and is shown with the symbols of honor doesn't mean that those symbols of honor mean that it's the same as some goddess from years back. You know, these are the symbols of honor. But I mean, you're Catholic, Dennis, you know more about this. There are always allegations that Catholics are worshiping Mary. So, you know, what is the origins of that, and what is the position of Mary within Catholicism?
Well, it's not just Mary, it's the saints, of which obviously Mary was one. The Catholics pray to saints. They have their own favourite saints. I know my father had Saint Anthony as his favourite saint. Always said, carried a picture around with him, always said, as we're going through the war, that was his belief. And, you know, to pray to a saint is not a big deal to a Catholic, because they're obviously classed holy, a person what's been on this earth, and classed as a holy person because of the good they did. And so, to pray to a saint, and even have your own personal saint, is not a big thing. But apparently, you know, to everybody else, it's like a you know, massive sin.
Well, I think Sorry, Dennis.
No, they call it idolatry, don't they? You know, worshipping of people other than God.
Well, there's a bit in the Book of Revelation where it says that all the saints are there in heaven and they're praying to God and intercessing with God, or they're praying to God. So I think the Catholic idea is, well, you pray to the saints and the saints pray to God. And again, this is why they didn't want the language of the Bible to be changed from Latin, because they were all speaking in Latin, and these people that were the saints that went up to heaven, they were speaking Latin when they died. So it was assumed that they would be speaking Latin in heaven. So of course you would want people to be praying on earth in the same language as they were seen to be praying in heaven. So this was the idea. And I think, you know, with Mary, because people say, well, what did Mary do? Well, Mary was obviously very good. Otherwise she wouldn't have been picked to bear our Lord. And she brought Jesus into the world. So obviously, you know, you want to thank her. So,
well, she's also going to get demonized, isn't she?
Well, yeah, it just seems logical to me, and it does seem to make sense. And, you know, it's not saying that she's a goddess. I mean, she's shown reverence.
That's what people think. That's where they get it wrong. They think on the same level as God, if not above them. Well, they're not. They're holy people actually below them. But even William Cooper got things wrong. I mean, William Cooper worked out that it was his own government that was creating the United Nations and this communist world government, but he still couldn't connect the dots with Hitler. And he even said at one point to get rid of this New World Order, we should have to get rid of all the Freemasons, which is exactly what Adolf Hitler did, but he missed the missed the thing completely. So, and he's not the only one in America. I mean, you know, Mullins was another one. And they all got led up this path where even when it's right in front of them that the actual United Nations is communist, Roosevelt, we know, is instigator behind that. He still can't connect the dots that it's his government who went to war with Adolf Hitler, and Adolf Hitler was the good guy.
Well, sometimes, you know, people will use anything to try and make their argument.